measles humming. You don't need no ticket. You just share your love.
Share your love.
You don't need no ticket. You just share your love.
Sweetland said, "The world is full of abundance and opportunity, but far too many people come to the fountain of life with a sieve instead of a tank car, a teaspoon instead of a steam shovel. They expect little, and as a result, they get little." Grand Rising Freedom Crusaders, this is Ashley Casper, and I'm expecting so much love today because that's what we have here. I'm rising with you here on the Grow Rich Mastermind on the Good News Network. We gather here to remind each other what is possible in this life that we have the honor of living and practicing every day, taking aligned steps toward a life with more freedom. Today is April 22nd, 2026, and our enthusiastic host and the founder of this amazing call, Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly. Paul Hutchings is a former call center cubicle worker who went from living in a 1984 single-wide trailer house to retiring debt-free in his early 40s. He's been a top producer in the home business profession since 2009, and he has co-founded the company that has paid out over $7 million in commissions. His main passion in business is to help lead the Freedom Crusade by inspiring and empowering others to achieve their financial goals and their dreams in life. Cannot wait to hear what he has for us today, but before we do, I'm going to open up the lines and I want to hear from all of you. So let me know what your name is and where you're calling in from.
Cat, North Texas.
Albie from Pasadena, California.
Albie.
Hey, Albie.
How are you?
Hey, Lori Sue.
Good morning, Lori Sue.
Good morning, Lori Sue. Happy Wednesday.
Hey.
Freedom Fest.
Winning Wednesday.
What's up, Albie? Hey, Mrs. Petition. Freedom, let's
hey,
go.
Hey, Anita. Good to hear you, too.
Good morning. Hello.
Where's Paul?
It's going to be the best day.
Rita Joy.
I got coffee. Hey, Kat.
Rita Joy.
Hey, Rita Joy. Mama Jody. Sister Deanne. What's up, Kat? What's up, Lori Sue?
What's up, man? What's up, Paul? Y'all better wake up in here.
Here it is.
Gotta wake up. I hear Wanda.
You get a grill.
Everybody get a grill.
Y'all get the grill.
Best day ever. Wanda.
I receive that.
Yes. All right.
What's up, Angela Mason?
What's going on, everybody?
Here comes Paul.
Let's go.
Are y'all ready for Paul?
Let's start cooking them up, Paul.
Anybody ready for the fun?
Get it. What's going on, everybody? It's good to hear you guys. Welcome to Wonderful Wednesday on the Grow Rich Mastermind. Excited to be here. Grateful for the gift of another day. Pumped up to be connecting with amazing, amazing people in the world like you who are open-minded, who are prosperity-oriented, who are continually working on yourself and your better future. That's who we have here on this call, people who are committed, people who are, willing to set goals for themselves, people who are willing to tune out the noise and tune in to the inner voice inside to move forward day by day in the most powerful way. At least those are our intentions. So if any of that resonates with you, you are in the right place at the right time, and especially if the idea of freedom resonates with you, building a life of financial freedom, that is one of the big goals we have here, is to do what we can to help each other build lives that have maximum flexibility. The most time of we all have the same amount of time, but we want to help ourselves be able to have the most flexibility with what to do with that time. To be able to wake up in the morning and look at the day as a blank slate. For some reason, I really like that. I really like that idea. Waking up in the morning and just having a blank slate of a day and being able to say, what do I want to put on this whiteboard? What do I want to put on this planner? Have less of other people filling out your schedule and more of you and I filling out our schedules. I like that idea, and freedom makes that possible. And specifically, the mechanism for me that has been a big value in that in my life is residual income. Building that income that comes in month after month after month when the work to acquire the customer was done perhaps weeks, months, years ago. Isn't that so cool? it's such a great, idea. And I got addicted to that idea. I guess I'm still addicted to that idea, especially since I've seen how awesome it is to have it in your life and the goodness that it can bring to not just you, but the people around you. My kids are so, I think, blessed, I guess you could say, to have never had to have their dad go away for work. Since my kids are really little, dad's always been here. When they leave for school, I'm here. When they come home from school, I'm here. And maybe they hate that at times, but it's the case. And so we want to help people build more of that. And this call we started, almost a couple decades ago. When we started the call, I did not have much residual income, had a little bit, but not very much. I was living in a 1984 single wide mobile home and wanted to create a better life for myself and for my family, and had a inner transformation with some of this material where I went from a state of feeling kind of like wishful, hopeful, unsure, but still hopeful. I was in that state of being, and in that state of being, I would, join various businesses and try to make them work. But they didn't really work in the sense that they didn't really bring much money into my life. You could argue that they worked in other ways. And they did. There definitely was a growth process in those early days where I feel like I had to learn some things. I really did. I wanted to make it happen quickly. And that's what got me in, is this idea that I could build a big income and I could do it pretty fast. And, I could get rid of my boss and my job and wow, I could have my dreams come true, and oh boy, let's make it happen ASAP. So yeah, I was excited about that. But it didn't happen quickly for me. It took years. My first year, I didn't make any money. Next 2 years, not much better. And then finally there was a shift where the money did show up. There's a quote in Think and Grow Rich where Napoleon Hill says, when money begins to come, it comes in such great quantities and with such rapidity that one, rapidity meaning speed, with such speed that one wonders where it has been hiding during all of those lean years. And I think about my story of how my first year I didn't make any money, next year a few hundred dollars really here and there. And then in 2009, all of a sudden, $3,000 a month showed up residually into my life, just like popped in out of nowhere. And you could say, well, gee, $3,000 a month, that's not like such great quantities and in such great abundance that one wonders where it's been hiding during. But you know what? It was that for me. That was all I wanted at the time, just $3,000 a month, so I didn't have to have my job anymore. And, you know, wealth is relative. Like amounts are relative. You can read that line from Napoleon Hill and think that it means millions and millions of dollars. And maybe in some cases it does mean that. But in other cases, it just means you go from pretty much zero to a good amount. And for me, that was that good amount, $3,000 a month. And so for years, I went with zero or just above zero. And then, boom, there's the money, $3,000 a month, residual income. It was there all of a sudden, suddenly like, wow, why didn't this happen when I just first got started? Why did this take 5 years? It was 4 or 5 years is about what it took. And the shift that made the money appear in my life was this information that we study on this call. It was having a definite purpose, writing it out, being very clear on it, committing to speak it out loud every day underneath the stars, over and over again. And an inner shift happened. And I know it was an inner shift because I could feel the changes inside of me before the money showed up, several months before, in fact. It was about 6 months, I think. I started following this information seriously. I started practicing it seriously. I mean, committed. I mean, dedicated. I mean, when Napoleon Hill said, write it out and speak it out loud every night, that's exactly what I did every night, over and over and over. And within about 6 months of doing that, poof, there's the money. Boom. Wow. Holy cow. That's what it was. That's what I needed. And that was what I needed. Maybe combined with all of the other experiences I'd had for the past few years. I don't know. Like, was it this and this alone? Was it the time? Was it the compounding of all of the little lessons that I had learned through the first few years? Maybe all of it. Was it the testing that I went through? Napoleon Hill also says in Think and Grow Rich that there seems to be a hidden guide whose duty it is to test the hearts and souls of men and women to see if they really want that which they say they want. And that's a test. Napoleon Hill calls it the persistence test. So my persistence test was about 5 years. You know, did Paul really want that residual income idea that he said he wanted? Let's find out. Let's see if he's willing to stick and stay and show up every day, even before the money gets here. How much does he believe in this idea? How badly does he want it? Let's find out. So my test was about 5 years. And then that first $3,000 a month showed up. And after that, of course, money's a funny thing. I think money is magnetic to more money. I think that once one begins to crack the money code, the money that comes in, if the code cracking was based on principles, sure, there's luck. There is luck. You know, you can win the lottery and that's luck. That money is not very magnetic. And you can, you know, read story after story after story of unearned riches and what happens to unearned riches. Whether it's winning the lottery, whether it's you know, inheriting a vast sum of wealth that falls in the hands of one who is not mentally or spiritually equipped to handle that wealth, what happens in those circumstances? The money runs away about just as fast as it comes. At least that's my perspective of reading story after story of what happens with unearned riches. But earned riches are different. Earned riches come in response to, as Napoleon Hill would say, set like known information, you know, having a purpose, service, delivering value in exchange for the money that you bring into your life, continued service, continued love, going the extra mile, initiative and leadership. These are some of the principles, right? We say freedom through principle-centered leadership. And when money comes with in response to having applied those principles, at least this is my story, this is how it's played out for me, the money is magnetic. And what that means is the money tends to compound and attract more money. So the first few years were the lean years, but then when that first $3,000 a month showed up, what happened after that? The next years were not so lean. Even though I didn't really have big goals of like, hey, let's grow this $3,000 a month into bigger and bigger and bigger. I didn't really have, you know, much of those goals. But the money continued to grow. Money went to $7,000 a month and $10,000 a month and $15,000 a month, over $20,000 a month. Many months have been over $20,000 a month. Not a guaranteed income. See earnings disclaimer with whatever company you're working with. Average affiliates can expect to earn no income. We don't want to be average, right? And of course, yeah, see the disclaimer with whatever company you're working with for sure. But yeah, the money was magnetic. It compounded and eventually that landed me into my 40s in a state of financial freedom. And does that mean all my problems have gone away? No. I commented on someone's post recently who was saying, I just got out of debt. And she was saying that, she was saying that she was happy she got out of debt, but she was surprised at how she thought she would feel like better and kind of like more. She thought there would be more to the feeling, you know, of getting out of debt. And I said, you know, when I got out of debt, I was pumped because it was a goal I'd had for a long time. Pay off my student loans, pay off my credit cards, pay off my vehicles, pay off my mortgage. That's one I wanted to do too, you know, get all the way out of debt. These days I notice sometimes people are celebrating getting out of debt and they still have a mortgage. And that's awesome. That's great. Whatever debt you can get out of the debt. But for me, my get out of debt goal was all of the debt, no debt left. I wanted no debt, none of it. And so when I got out of debt, I was super pumped. I was so excited. But it was a moment in time. It was a moment in time, and it was a step up the freedom stairwell. So what I mean by that is moments in time pass. And goal achievement is always achieving the goal in a moment. But up to the moment, there's lots of other moments. And if we only give ourselves permission to feel happy on the goal achievement moment, we're going to have a lot of unhappy moments through the rest, of our lives. Because most of the time we're moving towards something. And then we get there and then there's another journey after that. And so that's one thing to be aware of is that the emotion in the moment is a certain way, and then the moment passes and the emotion might not persist. But the other thing to be aware of in relation to a goal like that is there are more steps up the stairwell. Sorry, got a little frog in my throat. There are more steps up the stairwell. So getting out of debt is one big step. But the other steps might be, you know, developing a certain amount of residual income to where you not only are out of debt, but you don't have to have a job again if you don't want one. Or another step up the stairwell might be developing enough residual income from sources outside of your business, where even if your business goes away, you are okay because you've saved money. You follow the law of success number three. You've invested those savings into income producing assets. Now you got residual income outside of your business. And these are all steps up the stairwell to financial freedom. But the point I was endeavoring to share with this lady was there are more steps, but also even though you're walking up more steps of the financial freedom stairwell, there's other parts of life than money. So, you know, it's not the case that you solve the money problem and then, my life is perfect. Oh, everything is a dream. My relationships are perfectly harmonious. My kids pay 100% attention to me, and they just do everything that we want them to do. And we're just all so happy all the time. I never have any sadness. I never get discouraged. Oh, I'm just living in bliss because I have money. You know, it doesn't work like that. I don't think it didn't work like that for me. So if you're expecting that, I think you might be disappointed. Now, if you're expecting a greater sense of peace because you've got less things to worry about with money, if you're expecting less stress from money-related issues, if you're expecting less relationship problems due to money-related issues, if you're expecting a little bit more flexibility and happiness and the ability to buy the things you want, go out to dinner, you know, have money in the bank, and like experience the joys of a more fluid and carefree life in certain ways related to money, then yes, those are all very valid expectations. And I do encourage people to go for financial freedom. I do think these are goals that are worth striving for. I do think we can all make progress in these areas, and it's worth making progress in these areas. And there are other parts of life that we should pay attention to as well. So on this call, we're all about growing rich financially, but also rich in other ways. And we want to have perspective as we move forward in life. So that's why we're here, to help each other on that journey. And if that's the journey you're on or want to go on, welcome to the community. You are in the right place, in the right space, with the right group of people. And in my opinion, getting access to the right information, at least from my perspective, this information that we study was the information. Were the stories, were the ideas, was the roadmap to help me cultivate both the proper roadmap to follow, because we need a map to follow, but then also to develop the fortitude and develop the strength of spirit to follow the map. Because just because you got a map doesn't mean the road's going to be easy. And and it wasn't for me. It wasn't easy, but it was easier than the alternative. And I think that's something to always think about as well. Is your journey, even though it might be difficult at times, what's the alternative? And I always think about what's the alternative to help me refocus on the path in front of me. Because when the path is difficult or has challenges, the easy thing to do, the mentally lazy thing to do, I might say, is to conclude that it's just too hard. It's not worth it. This doesn't work. These are conclusions that one can come to on this path. And many do come to these conclusions. but I always look at what's the alternative. You know, someone asked me recently, gee, I see so many people struggling, and how do you have faith in the vision, and how do you keep moving forward even though, you know, it always seems like there's a big group of people that aren't, you know, crushing it financially, even though you're trying to help them crush it financially. how do you keep the faith and stay on the path? And my simple answer is, what's the alternative? Do we tell people, it's just too hard. I see it's not working as fast as you might want it to work. May as well just go back to the job. Is that what we do? Because to me, that's not an alternative. People come to entrepreneurship and people come to the home business profession because they don't like the options they have in front of them. Maybe they're at a low paying job. Maybe they're at a job where their spirit gets crushed every day. Maybe they don't have a, what you would call a marketable set of skills per the world standards. You know, the world says, hey, if you want to be valuable to society, here are some skills you can get. You can become a doctor. You can become a lawyer. You can become an engineer. You can become a plumber. You can become an electrician. You can become fill in the blank, right? Like there's a set of useful roles in society that society says, if you want to have some money, do these things. Well, there's a lot of people that don't fall into those little boxes. I was one of them. I didn't fall into one of those little boxes. So what happened for me was I got stuck in a call center cubicle and found that I was making 11 bucks an hour, and I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to be a lawyer. I didn't want to be a plumber or an electrician. Nothing wrong with any of those professions. They just weren't for me. So what do I do? What are my choices? My choices are, A, stay in the trailer house and keep making 11 bucks an hour and try to climb the corporate ladder, which was not an appealing proposition to me. That's option A. Or option B, build a business from home, grow a residual income. And so home business is way better than the alternative. The alternative was just not a viable option for me. I just, my spirit wouldn't take it. I could not take it. So I went the path of home business. And so when we're helping people, I think we got to remember that what we offer is far better than the alternative, usually in the vast majority of cases. And so all we can do is do our best to help and make it easier and try to support as much as we can. And then also the other thing, and then I'll get off the little box here, is remember that struggle can be and often is a part of the journey. Maybe, I don't know, I hate to speak in absolutes. My gut says it's always a part of the journey, but I don't want to make it so that it's a part of your journey if for some reason it's not going to be. But struggle was a part of my journey. It was a part of my journey. So when people say, how do you keep going even though there are those who struggle? I say, well, I struggled. Why would I want to remove that from the people I'm trying to help? I mean, yeah, remove as much as we can, but there's only so much we can do. And when I think about my journey and the struggle and the gifts that the struggle gave me, really, like, I feel like I'm a different person than I would have been had I just joined and immediately got success. I feel like I developed some inner strengths that wouldn't be there. So would I want other people to not develop those inner strengths? I don't think I would. I think it's a gift that we all can give ourselves when we go through the struggle and we persist and we learn all of these things, to give it all we got and a little bit more. Give it all we got and a little bit more. Give it all we got and a little bit more. Well, what if it's not working? We keep giving it all we got and a little bit more. What if everyone says we're crazy? We give it all we got and a little bit more. What if we feel like quitting? We give it all we got and a little bit more. What if we feel like we can't go anymore? We give it all we got and a little bit more. This is the answer that we learn to give ourselves. And no one can take that away from me ever. No one will ever be able to take that away from me. And no one will be able to take it away from you. when you develop that, give it all you got and a little bit more. Never give up. Keep moving forward, like Christian and Rita Joy always say. So anyway, that's what we're here to do, guys. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to unmute the lines real quick. How are you feeling? Are you excited to be here? Excited to take action today and move your life forward? If so, let's hear how you're feeling as I unmute the lines right now. All right. Well, thank you, guys. We got a little bit of a reading to go through, and let's do the definite purpose and self-confidence formula real quick, and then I'll jump out and we'll do the reading for a few minutes, and then we'll open up the lines. Angela, amazing. Are you here with our purpose today?
I am here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My Coverage family, I salute the divinity in you. My major definite purpose, it is now on or before, and I have in my possession, which has come to me from time to time over the interim. In return for this, I happily gave the most effective service in which I was capable of rendering in the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of a freedom crusader. I know that I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see it before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It was awaiting transfer to me all along. At the time and the proportion I delivered the service I intended to render in return for it. I am so grateful that I have received these plans by which to achieve these desires, and I am following these plans as they are received. And there's being more and more plans received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such actions. Second, I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind are reproducing themselves outwardly into physical action and gradually transforming themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I concentrate my thoughts for at least 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person that I am, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that amazing person. Third, I know that through the principles of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind is now seeking expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of even more self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will continue to endeavor until I have self-sufficient confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built under truth and justice. Therefore, I only engage in transactions that benefit all whom they affect. I succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I have eliminated hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, cynicism, and egotism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. I have signed my name to this formula, committed it to memory, and I am repeating it out loud at least twice a day with full faith that it is gradually influencing my thoughts and my actions so that I am an even more self-reliant and successful person. Oh, divine providence, I do ask for more riches and for more wisdom, for to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in the power to control and direct my own mind and thoughts to whatever ends that I might desire in alignment with your will for my life, to prosper and to be in health, even as my soul prospers, according to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, in the divine name, amen, so be it. Back to you, my brother Paul, and I love you, my Grow Rich family. Yes!
I feel like you actually mean it when you say those words, Angela.
So thank you. Oh, I do.
I love you too and believe in you. And I know I'm not the only one. Friends and Freedom Crusaders, let's let Angela know how amazing we really think she is. All right, guys and gals, let's get through some of our reading today. We're in The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. Page 13 is where Mike Hobbs left us off. And part of the goal of this book is to cultivate that prosperity consciousness, to eliminate excuses that we might not even know are there, but sometimes are there holding us back from, as Booker would say, getting the money, got to get the money, right? So here we go. Wallace Wattles says, everywhere we see rich and poor living side by side in the same environment and often engaged in the same vocations. When two people are in the same locality and in the same business and one gets richer while the other remains poor, it shows that getting rich is not primarily a matter of environment. Some environments may be more favorable than others, but when two people in the same business or in the same neighborhood and one gets rich while the other fails, it indicates that getting rich is the result of doing things in a certain way. So, you know, think about whatever business you're in. And certainly you can see that there are some in that business that are doing really well and others maybe that are not doing as well. There's like a huge range of results, but it's the same business, right? Same business. So what is the difference? I mean, essentially this is the study of success. What are the causes that are causing the ones to win, to really win big? What are the causes that are causing the ones to not win, as big? What are those, right? And Wallace Wattles is saying the ones that are doing it and doing it well, they're doing it in a certain way. So doing the same thing, but they're doing it in a different way. He says, and further, the ability to do things in a certain way is not due solely to the possession of talent. For many people who have great talent remain poor, while others who have very little talent get rich. Studying the people who have gotten rich, we find that they are an average lot in all respects, having no greater talents and abilities than other people have. It is evident that they do not get rich because they possess talents and abilities that others do not have, but because they happen to do things in a certain way. Getting rich is not the result of saving or thrift. Many very penurious people are poor, while free spenders often get rich. And, you know, law of success number three is save money from Napoleon Hill. But Wallace Wattles is pointing out that there are those who don't save money but get rich. And there are those examples. And the example of debt as well. You know, I'm a fan of getting out of debt. That's what I did. And I'm glad I did. Others, like Robert Kiyosaki, for example, says there's good debt and there's bad debt, and you want to have as much good debt as possible and no bad debt. And he would say bad debt is debt that costs you money. Good debt is debt that makes you money. So he is a extreme debt leverage type of guy. I think the last time I looked it up, he had, I think it was like $100-something million in debt. But he was owning real estate and all of that debt was producing cash flow. So for him, that was a good way to go. So he got rich and he's in a lot of debt. And then you got others who get rich and have no debt. So that's maybe not the key differentiator. What else could it be? He said, nor is getting rich due to doing things which others fail to do. For two people in the same business often do almost exactly the same things, and one gets rich while the other remains poor or becomes bankrupt. From all these things, we must come to the conclusion that getting rich is the result of doing things in a certain way. If getting rich is the result of doing things in a certain way, and if like causes always produce like effects, then any man or woman who can do things in that way can become rich, and the whole matter is brought within the domain of exact science. The question arises here, and by the way, I'll just insert here, this line really, really inspired me over the years. He's basically saying, another way to say it is wealthy people think and act in certain ways. And if I can learn to think and act in those certain ways, then I too can become wealthy. Wow, what a belief. That belief fueled me for so long and still does. It inspired me because I knew that, hey, even though I'm living in a trailer house, there are people who are wealthy, and those people think in certain ways and they act in certain ways. So if I can just study and understand how they do it and model that, then I can become wealthy. And that produced, you know, a great state of freedom in my life. So I think that's a great belief to adopt. The question arises here as to whether this certain way may not be so difficult that only a few may follow it. As we've seen, this cannot be true as far as natural ability is concerned. Talented people get rich and blockheads get rich. yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are examples of wealthy, there are some wealthy people that you're just like, when you listen, you're just like, oh my gosh, how did this person, you know, like, how do they do it? Well, there you go. Wallace Waddle says even blockheads can get rich. Intellectually brilliant people get rich and very stupid people get rich. He's blunt. Physically strong people get rich and weak and sickly people get rich. Some degree of ability to think and understand is, of course, essential. But insofar as natural ability is concerned, any man or woman who has sense enough to read and understand these words can certainly get rich. Also, we have seen that it is not a matter of environment. Yes, location counts for something. One would not go to the heart of the Sahara and expect to do successful business. Getting rich involves the necessity of dealing with people and being where there are people to deal with. Excuse me. And if these people are inclined to deal in the way you want to deal, so much the better. But that is about as far as the environment goes. If anybody else in your town can get rich, so can you. And if anybody else in your state can get rich, so can you. Again, it is not a matter of choosing some particular business or profession. People get rich in every business and in every profession, while their next door neighbors in the very same vocation remain in poverty. It is true that you will do best in a business which you like and which is congenial to you. And if you have certain talents which are well developed, you will do best in a business which calls for the exercise of those talents. Also, you will do best in a business which is suited to your locality. Now, keep in mind, this was way before the internet. So he says an ice cream parlor would do better in a warm climate than in Greenland. And a salmon fishery will succeed better in the Northwest than in Florida, where there are no salmon. But aside from these general limitations, getting rich, and I would say to transfer that lesson to 2026, I would say the locality that applies now is being with the people that are likely to want to buy what you're selling. So rather than just being everywhere with all people and sharing your message all over the place, you know, can you put your message in front of people who kind of already have a proclivity to perhaps want the thing that you're selling? I think this is the core of marketing. You know, like, people complicate marketing so much, and I would say marketing is really simple. Marketing is just remembering that it's easier to sell a steak to a meat eater than it is to sell a steak to a vegetarian. So when it comes to location in the information age, look at what you're selling and then be in front of people that are at least not going to totally reject what it is that you want, you know? So anyway, continuing on, but aside from these general limitations, getting rich is not dependent upon your engaging in some particular business, but upon your learning to do things in a certain way. If you're now in a business and anybody else in your locality is getting rich in the same business, while you are not getting rich yet, it is simply because you are not doing things in the same way that the other person is doing them. No one is prevented from getting rich by lack of capital. True, as you get capital, the increase becomes more easy and rapid, but the one who has capital is already rich and does not need to consider how to become so. No matter how poor you may be, if you begin to do things in a certain way, you will begin to get rich and you will begin to have capital. The getting of capital is a part of the process of getting rich, and it is a part of the result which invariably follows the doing of things in the certain way. You may be the poorest person on the continent and be deeply in debt. You may have neither friends, influence, nor resources. But if you begin to do things in this way, you must infallibly begin to get rich. For like causes must produce like effects. If you have no capital, you can get capital. If you are in the wrong business, you can get into the right business. If you are in the wrong location, you can go to the right location. And you can do so by beginning in your present business and in your present location to do things in a certain way, which always causes success. You must begin to live in harmony with the laws governing the universe. And that's the close of chapter 2. So we'll get into chapter 3 tomorrow. One quick final thought from me on the certain way. So I think there are two aspects to the certain way. One aspect is procedural. So if someone is succeeding and they're doing a certain thing, like in home business, you invite people. That's one thing you can do. So there's a procedure to how to give a good invitation. If you are, maybe making a video, there is a loose procedure that one can follow. Get attention would be the first part of that procedure. Deliver some value would be the second part of that procedure. Perhaps a call to action at the end of the video would be a third part to that procedure. If you're doing a sales presentation, there is a procedure, right? Get attention, get rapport, get credibility, target a problem, present a solution, set expectations, risk reversal, social proof, urgency, scarcity, call to action. Those are some of the procedural elements of a sales message. So there's a procedural part. And Wallace Wattles, in this chapter, mentioned the term science, like it's science, it's scientific, you know. And I would say this is the science part of the certain way, where you learn the steps, you learn the rough outline, and then you learn to follow those steps. I would say there's a second part to the certain way. And the second part looks like this. Over the last 2 weeks, I kept having this idea pop up into my head. And it was a sentence, and it was a feeling. And it just kept coming back to me, and I'd put it away, and I'm like, and it would come back, and I was like, I need to like write a post on this or make some content about it. And I would put it away, and it kept coming back. And the idea was, the older I get, the less advice it seems I want to give. This is just something I'm noticing in myself. So anyway, yesterday I finally sat down and wrote that out, and then began to articulate a post that was kind of coming from inside me. And just a Facebook post, just a simple Facebook post. And the moment I posted it, it started to get engagement. And then over the night and today, more engagement and more great engagement, really heartfelt comments, people that really felt like that message hit the mark. And so I think the second part of the certain way, If I had to put a word on it, it would be spirit. Tapping into what's coming through you, what's coming from maybe somewhere outside of yourself, being guided by inspiration. Joe Rogan recently interviewed John Fogerty, I think is his name, the lead singer for the band Creedence Clearwater Revival. And it was an interesting interview because they talked a lot about the creative process. And Joe Rogan was asking John Fogerty, how did you write, Fortunate Son? And how did you write this song? And how did you write this song? And he talked about how his process. And essentially, it was, A, you have to show up to do the work. So he was very consistent about showing up, sitting down, getting ready to write. But what he said was, sometimes nothing came. And then sometimes something came. And it came quickly. Some of the best songs, he said he wrote in like 20 minutes. And he looked at it and he's like, wow, like this, it feels like it came from somewhere else. It came through me rather than from me. And I think that's the second part of the certain way is both are important. The procedures are important. The principles are important. But also, we can't be robots, like if you're just a robot, I don't think it's going to work as well. And I think the spirit combined with the procedural part of stuff brings life to what you're bringing to the world. And it brings soul and it brings something higher embedded into the creations that you display before people. And it gives your creations that something extra, you know, that something extra. So be open, I guess, to ideas from the beyond and pay attention to ideas that seem to be knocking on the door of your heart and work on bringing those out into the world. I would say perhaps to myself and you, if you want to also hear those words. So, all right, I'm going to mute the lines. Love to hear your thoughts today. Keep in mind, this is not a company specific call. So please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, less leaders are part of the community. Brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. Star 6, who's first?
Hey, Paul, it's Albie. Hey, Paul.
What's going on, man?
I just wanted to say I really resonated with the whole
Albie, did we lose you?
I appreciate you, Paul. Thank you for everything you've done this morning, all the great talk. I was just listening and just absorbing it all. It was really, really interesting. And the whole struggle thing really kind of like, yeah, really, really resonated with me because I remember just going through so much struggle and so much darkness, you know. I wouldn't say it's like, you know, some of the deepest darkness that I've ever gone through in my life, but it was definitely, it definitely wasn't happy. And it made me, you know, I remember with my business, I remember, you know, trying one of these network marketing things and just thinking to myself, why does nobody respond to me? why does every single attempt I make to share this business with people, it's just like, No. get away. And I just felt like, man, like it's just so hard. but you're right. I mean, like, you know, like that actually, the crazy thing was is that when I felt that exact experience, I remember listening to Wallace Waddles, you know, back in 2017. And I remember him saying, if you focus on there's a word that he said, and I don't know if I can remember that exact word, but if you focus on the low, I don't know if you remember that word, I can't remember it, but you focus on the mundane and the despair and all the negative stuff and everything, you become like that. And it's like, but people who are rich, they focus on the beautiful and the amazing and the cool and the and they become the best. And I was like, wow. And so that helped me, that suffering or that whatever you want to call it, that despair or whatever that feeling that you said, really, really like helped me to grasp on to the wealthy mindset and start living that. And so that was a really good thing. So I guess the darkness can help you. Once you're in the valley, you look up to the mountain and say, I want to go up there. So thank you, Paul. Thanks for bringing that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Cultivate palatial thoughts, even though you might not be living in a palace. I love that. Thank you so much, Albie. Angela, come on in.
Paul.
What's up?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Paul. You're on fire today. All the things that you're saying is so good. It resonated with me. But anyway, going back to the power of saving and magnetic money. So going back to saving, so you have to have a plan, number one, a desire, a major definite purpose of where you want to go. So my first thought was $10,000 in my savings account. And the more you look at that and you got that plan and you reach that first $10,000, the second one and the third one and the fourth one and it's all the way to $100,000 that's in the bank, you actually feel good just by looking at that 10 because you reached that goal. And so I just want to encourage people to save, because looking at the, I guess you would say, the process of it, it makes you feel wealthy. And then when you get to that $60,000, that $100,000 a month, you feel it so much because you took the action to be able to save. Okay, well, maybe you can set a goal for $500, whatever it may be. But I'm telling you, it magnetic the force of thinking and seeing and focusing in on it. It is a magnetic. It brings magnetic to it, and it makes it come faster. Because once you get that first $10,000, then the second one you did the same thing. That $20,000 comes so quick, and so on and so on. But I mean, it's a blessing. And then when I'm talking about savings, I want to talk about how you can get some extra money. If you have an extra bedroom, and you know somebody, or you can even advertise a room for rent, that will give you almost $800 a month residual income, as long as that tenant or that roommate is there in your house. That money is coming in because you've already did the work. You did the interviews. You got a good person in there, and it keeps coming to you month after month after month. So that's another way to make some money if you got that extra room. Even if you have an extra room and it got stuff in it, clear it out and then rent that room out, and that's some extra money for you. All right. I love you, Bob. Have a good day. I love my brother's family.
Oh, that's so good, Angela. Woo-hoo. Yeah, how do you go from the feeling of I don't have money to I got money is some money in the bank? You know, it's like that.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. And then when your focus on, your energy flows, right?
That's
like,
right.
Oh, I'm doing it.
That's right. Thank you, Angela. Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Am I already out?
Lori Sue, you trying to come out here?
Oh, what a great conversation. You know, the house that I was in, I was renting a room just before I moved over here to be with my littlest one over here. Anyway, and she had 5 or 6 bedrooms, I believe, because I was on. Anyway. It was mostly traveling nurses, and I didn't know it, but there are traveling construction workers like your electricians and things like that, too, that are just temporarily in an area to do a job, and then they're gone. And those people are I watch. They're just really happy people. They're people. They are, and they aren't there as much because they're working so much. They're focused on that. I noticed a lot of times they're eating out, so they're not making a mess. And I'm like, wow, those are some good renters to have. Happy people that are really clean people, and they definitely have the nurses that are traveling nurses make a lot more. So they will pay, and they'll take care of things. It seems to be that way anyway. But, yeah, I did that for a while. After my kids moved out, I had a big house, and I rented the 4 other rooms. And it has its positives and negatives as far as that goes. I learned a lot, enjoyed some of the people that rented from me are still my best friends, and so it's a good thing for sure. But the thing that really jumped out at me that you were talking about was that knock on the heart door, and that's been coming up in my life a lot. I have a doctor that was a shaman, or not shaman, he went to not India. Oh, I just totally skipped my mind. The one where you can move things. What's that called? Have you seen that? And they kind of make fun of it. There was a soccer movie.
Levitation?
Where you could say it again?
You say the one where you can move things, like with your mind?
Yeah, without touching them. Yeah, without touching them. Yeah, yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Where they can bend a fork, where they can jump up high, higher than normal, and it's usually connected to your martial art.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know the name for it, but I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, he literally learned those mind power things, those that we all have. And he keeps saying that to me, that this isn't something special that I could do. He says, but all of us can do it. You just don't focus on that. But yes, the energy is there. We're all energy, so it can be mixed and moved without with your mind and the power of who you are. Anyway, he talks about that door and how we all have our own agency and things coming in, like whether it's a song, whether it's a health, maybe your own best health. If we don't allow it in, it can't happen. And at the same time, those things that are not good, we need to guard the door and not let them in at all. And what happens if we continue to let the harmful in is that we cut off or we block the soul from the heart. And then we block the heart from the mind and brain completely. So we're living in our head and we're not receiving the abundance that's right there for us all the time. So those are some things that I'm learning and I'm experiencing and looking back. Okay, so that mountain, Albie was talking about how when you're hiking around and you see the mountain, it almost calls to you like, oh yeah, I really want to get up there. I just really want to be there. But I also found that when I got to that mountain, I got to that top. It's so, so important to turn around and see, look down in that valley and see how beautiful that is. And it may have been a struggle to get through some of the trails to get to the mountain, but the valley is so beautiful. And you know what? I found more often I had to come down the mountain to go back home. I had to go back through that same valley to go back home. There was some struggles and I knew, oh gosh, now I got to go back through those. You know what I mean? But it's all part of the joy of living. And it's like that riding the rainbow that you talked about. So those are all my thoughts that I have. I hope that helps somebody out there.
I love it.
Love you, Paul.
I also love how you said it's all part of the joy of living. That's so good. Thanks, Lori Sue. Great thoughts. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. I like to say God gave us a head and a heart for a reason. We're supposed to use both, not one or the other predominantly.
Amen to that.
Oh, yeah. We got some honey butter dripping on the call. Oh, yeah. Break out the buns.
I've been smelling those buns. I'm like a little child wiggle. Mommy, are the buns ready?
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's called so good. You know, it makes you want to lick the bowl. You know, you have to, your parents are making a cake again. That's so good. I want to lick the bowl. I want to lick the bowl on this call. So good. Thank you for all you do. I'm just kind of walking out looking at the eagles. You might hear some noise in the background. And I'm just thankful for today. I'm thankful for the circumstances that I have. I'm thankful for the problems that I have that are polishing my life that had me up this morning at 3 o'clock meditating, concentrating, writing things down, getting refocused. It's been an ongoing challenge and an ongoing joy to refocus, realign, recommit, you know, continue to know that by never giving up and by always moving forward that I'm going to pass through that door that is meant to be as long as I keep waking up. And like Booker said, one doubt you out. So I know who I am. I know where I want to be, and that's in a happy place. So things that I visualize, I continue to focus on that and be around that, be around this group, be around people, continue to learn new skills, continue to grow, continue to be resilient in the fact of knowing that if I see it and believe it, I can achieve it. And I just thank all that. I like Jim Rohn, I thank the seed, the soil. I thank Mother Nature. I thank for that. I thank everyone and the universe for the opportunity to be able to wake up and just be. So thank you. Love you, Paul. Love you, Harmonic Engineers. Love you, Mama Jody, Rita Joy, Booker, Mama Elizabeth, and everybody. Albie, appreciate you. Never give up. Keep moving forward. Be the change you're born to be in this world. Love you.
I love you too, man. Thank you, Minister Christian. filling your spirit and your voice is a gift for us every day, and I appreciate it. Well, I guess that's it, guys. We are at time. So thank you so much, Ashley, Albie, Angela, Lori Sue, Minister Christian, everyone who listened in today. Love and believe in all of you. Let's get out there, take action, go for our dreams. And we'll hear you back tomorrow on the Grow Rich Mastermind Call. Take care and bye for now. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Take action. Take action.
Something special right here for you. Everything has a season, a reason to grow. So don't be discouraged by your obstacles.
No.
Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. Be all you are meant to be. Things will always come to get us down, and it only gets worse when we start to frown. Let's keep hope alive in our hearts. Smile with gratitude, that's when the magic starts. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. Be all you are meant to be. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. It's your life for eternity. Never be defeated, even if you are mistreated. Stand your ground right where you are. Don't give up on your dreams, no matter how hard it seems. Move forward and follow your heart. Follow your heart. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. Be all are meant to be. I'll never give up my right to be happy. I'll never give up. It's my life for eternity. I'll never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up.